Hey everybody out there, this is Sam Kilmer, Fintech Hustle Managing Director at Cornerstone Advisors. Glad to be with you here in the hall at Acquire Be Acquired Bank Director Conference. Not really the hall, we're kind of outdoors here. Got a few palm trees working for us, but I'm really, really honored to have some great guests with me today to talk a little bit about what we're seeing going on in the halls of Fintech. I've got Kim Schneider, the founder and CEO of Claribus. We've got Jamie Punishel, who's the CMO of nCino. And we have, you may know this guy over here a little bit, Ron Shevlin, who's Chief Research Officer, and I think Jam Master Jay of Snark, maybe another title we could apply to him. And it's good to have these guys here, and I just really wanted to get their sense of what's going on in the industry, in fintech, and what they're seeing here at Acquire Be Acquired. So I'll just kick right off, and just let's start with you, Kim. Have you seen anything that, you know, here at the Acquire Be Acquired conference that rocked your world, or that really, you know, jazzed you about the industry?
So first of all, the number of attendees here is absolutely unbelievable. So I think this has to be the largest one that they've had, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I really, really think a big takeaway for me is that your competitor is not the bank on the street. Competitors for small business is PayPal, Venmo, Square, right? You need to understand that. I think oftentimes community banks, they like to focus on who's next door to them in their industry, and that's really not where their focus should be.
Great. Jamie, have you seen, I know you guys were both on stage, so you've seen this from both on stage and from the audience. Have you seen anything that rocked your world while you're here?
Anything that rocked my world? No, I don't think I've seen anything that rocked my world. My sense was a crowd really trying to digest the duality of the economic realities, the environment we're in, and the imperative to continue the transformation that, you know, they've been working very hard to support for the last few years. And it's going to be a really interesting environment where you have to balance those things in a different way. In the same way the fintechs are trying to figure out what to do when it's not growth at all costs and money doesn't fall from the sky.
Right. You're right. Capital is a thing right now. So yeah, it's a good point. What about you, Ron? What have you been seeing?
Oh, well, first of all, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, one of the themes of our What's Going On in Banking report this year was fighting the headwinds, riding the tailwinds. It is a duality, you know. There's economic issues, but look, the banks have gone up and down with that for years. You've got to know how to deal with the economic ups and downs. But more importantly is the long-term technological change, the impact of the fintechs, the impact on the industry as a whole. And there are a couple of things that, I'm not sure rocked my world, Sam, but a couple of things that kind of really stuck out for me was, it's interesting, we're at a conference that's about being acquired or be acquired, about mergers. How I have banks merge? It's about scale. But past 20 years, what's changed? Getting scale through technology, not through mergers and acquisitions, which look, takes years when you start putting companies together. You got to jumpstart that with technology. And I think there's a growing recognition among a lot of the attendees here that it isn't strictly about acquiring or being acquired, but what they're acquiring is technology to help them scale, not just another bank down the street.
Interesting. So just kind of keeping it loose here, no pre-planned topics, but, you know, just like to cover what's working and not working out there in the land of fintech and banking. And Jamie, let's start with you. So we started with Kim before. What are you seeing out there in fintech land now, right now, that's working really well in the business?
Boy, so I think the zeitgeist right now is digesting all of these things that they've bought, these, you know, programs that they're trying to implement, you know, fairly consistent. You know, I'm new to nCino now. I've been here 6 months, and, you know, I spend a lot of time talking to the customers. Hey, what are we doing well? Mm-hmm. What are we not doing well? What could you be doing different? What have you learned? And there's a growing recognition. There's been a lot of adoption of technology and not a lot of transformation of the business while they've been doing it. And that really is what this is about. The second thing that I was struck sort of coming away from here is a different duality with the folks who get that this is now a technology-driven universe also are stopped treating them like projects to complete and be done with. And then they can go back to the normal
right
things.
The batch is over.
Yeah, exactly. Great. We got that implemented. Now we can go back to the business of banking. Mm-hmm. And there's an emerging group of customers that recognize, oh no, this is the business of banking. Mm-hmm. And that's quite different. And so you're starting to see sort of a divide and a separation.
Interesting. What about you, Kim?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we've had so many conversations this year relative to previous years about really utilization of the technology stack that they're that the banks are already on. We often see banks implement about 20% of what they buy, and then they're like, "Oh gosh, that didn't work. Let me go buy something else." And I think there's a lot of realization about that. Let's take a step back now and absorb what we've purchased. What can it do for us? What does it not do for us? And so, yeah, we're going to do more.
Right.
I'm happy to jump in, but why don't you answer your question
and jump in here. One thing, I started out in this industry doing a lot of data analytics at a time when, there weren't really a lot of great tools. And then we kind of went through a period where, there were lots of tools that harvested data in these big warehouses and lakes and ponds and whatnot. All very interesting, except people weren't getting a lot out of them. What I found interesting in the hall, whether it was Kim with Clarivis, Jamie with what you guys are doing around data and, working into a lending workflow, is I saw a lot of companies in there that were, really focused on applied data and actually getting something out of it on the other end. And since you asked, Ron, thank you very much. I'll add that there's always been a heavy focus in tech around retail banking. I saw a lot in the hall that solved a lot of problems for commercial banking, which is most of the banks walking around the hall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that really jazzed me, but... Okay, so enough of the positive.
Let me address that and add a point to it. Your point about the retail commercial split is spot on and totally predictable. You look at the retail, you look at other industries, the changes always start with the consumer stuff and then moves to the B2B back office kind of things. That's just the normal. So we're finally at the phase, I think the inflection point of really changing the commercial stuff. And when it starts really changing the commercial lending and more specifically the commercial real estate lending, we'll know, that the fintech stuff has really hit. The other thing I wanted to comment on is you asked about what's working, what's not working. Yeah. And God, I hate to be a negative analyst, but that's me, man. Right, that's me, man. I think digital transformation is kind of on the decline as this buzzword. And I think a better recognition is that it's really more about digital modernization, not transformation. And honestly, I haven't quite thought that through very much yet, but it's kind of what the sense I'm feeling, from a lot of folks.
Have you been sitting inside some of the meetings that we've been having?
Yeah.
We've been working on some brand positioning that may or may not be in that in that zone.
We're doing the same thing, Jamie. I mean, face it. The core systems were built, on first generation technology. That's why our banks are struggling so hard to actually implement transformation of digital technology, right? So the modernization is absolutely key.
Yeah. I think one of the things that has not worked well or has, not gone on plan is just, there's been for the last several years, it's been this like, we need to get into fintech and here's, a slide full of logos. But it's funny because I think one of the promising things that I heard, Drew Anderson from Umpqua Bank on one of the panels said something like, if you see a deck full of a 40-page deck with tons of logos in it,
and that's the roadmap. It was the roadmap.
That's your roadmap. You're probably doing it wrong. So yeah. I think what we're starting to realize now is when are we looking at dreamware versus when are we looking at practical
Absolutely.
Things that we can get applied in the next quarter as a bank? So. Anything else that you guys have seen here?
I'm going to tack on to that because roadmap is a dirty word, right? And I was a community banker before I did this with fintech, right? And the core is all out there promising the roadmaps that never come to fruition. And so banks are now weary of that word. So we stay away from that and truly talk about what our product does today and what it's going to do in the next 6 months, not in the next 4 years.
Right. No six-year dreamland stuff. Huh?
No, you can't do that.
Stuff that's going to happen. Anything else jump out at you?
No, I think, we've been through this cycle a number of times together, right? There's a natural inclination to go into this now 3 month, 6 month view of the universe, which blinds. There's an old saw on Wall Street, right? The stock market's like watching somebody walk up the hill while they're playing with a yo-yo. Everybody focuses on the darn yo-yo and misses the fact that they're slowly walking up the hill. You have to find this another duality of there's big change happening, right? We have barely begun to see the impact of AI into process, risk management, et cetera. If I put Jamie Punishel, the marketer hat on, and I look at what we're doing in our marketing transformation, it's AI in almost every tool. That's right. Different staff. That's a totally different way of me thinking about our data.
Yeah.
And, you know, marketing is kind of at the forefront of this applied AI stuff. Bank, we're 5 years from now, it's going to be a completely different world. So I don't think you could take your eye off the six-year vision, even as you are making sure that, okay, I've got a sustained slow walk up the hill, incremental improvement, continuous improvement.
And I love the passion you bring to it. I think the other thing is that both of you are obviously great. So it's one of the reasons why you're on the stage. You're great storytellers. I think one of the things that's wrong in the industry right now that's not working very well is there are a lot of fintech providers that are not telling great stories and not showing very good demos. I'm seeing them ask a lot of great questions in discovery, and then they forget about it. And they don't actually use it when it comes time to actually talk about what's going on, you know, and how they can actually help someone. So, you know, I'm always looking for, you know, who's really good at that. Folks like you guys, well, you know, you were bankers, you've done this stuff before. But not everybody could be a banker like that. But anyway, that's some of the things I'm seeing wrong. Anything else you guys think that the industry could be doing better right now that they could take back to the next bank director, acquire, be acquired, or the next tech conference?
Yeah, let's look at it from two perspectives. Is it the banks doing a better job or are the fintechs doing a better job? And I'll start with the fintechs first. I tend to think that they paint a great picture of what technology can do out there in some future. And, you know, I live in New England. I'm not far from Maine. And the joke is if you go up to Maine and ask for directions, they'll say, can't get there from here because the coast is like this. Well, I think a lot of fintech vendors come in and go, here, this is what the future looks like. But it's not a roadmap from a technology. It's a, how do I get there? How do I, the bank, get there from here? And that's not an easy thing. And I don't think they're doing that. On the bank side, where they're falling down is integration. I think it might have been Steve Williams, Cornerstone's president and co-founder, who on a panel said, look, if you're a mid-sized bank, you can't build it all, but you can and maybe should integrate it all.
Right.
And meaning you got to have the internal capabilities to do that. It's no longer just expecting your vendor community to do that for you. So I think that's where the banks need to focus some of the technology personnel efforts is in the integration side.
I used to joke that the only thing banks were worse at than building stuff was integrating it. I think that's actually still true, right? And I mean, obviously we bet, you know, our future on this. I think we're going to see an emergence of platforms and ecosystems that just have to simplify this. It's just too hard and things change too fast. Yep. There's too many pieces to put together. We can't be the banks themselves can't be put in the position of having to make those decisions. It's too hard to change and to pivot, and the world is just too fluid. So, I mean, we've seen it almost in every other area where there's going to rise some sort of ecosystem that is providing the connections and the integrations around your central nervous system that just helps the bank solve this problem. Because the only way they can keep up with the pace of change is being demanded and put on them by externalities.
Gotcha. Hey, can I just follow up on it?
Yeah.
So, who will be the emerging platforms? Can the cores be the emerging platform, or is it going to be new fintech providers?
I've made my own personal economic bet that it's going to be
okay.
a particular new platform providers. But it, that doesn't have to be an either or.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, as Kim said, the cores, it's a slow journey to this new world. So they're going to have to move a little faster.
I was shocked to see a couple of the major the two largest major core providers. Yeah. They're not here.
Right.
There's like 1,000 CEOs in here from banks. Right. And I'm like, Anyway, Kim, you're
going to say. So previously, I think banks get so hard. I think the reason that implementations are so difficult is because the banks want to customize everything. They think their bank is uniquely special. And what they really need to be focused on is why are they buying the fintech solution that they're buying and take it the way it comes. Because where implementations go wrong inside of organizations is when they try to customize it. It goes 12 months too long and then they're sitting there and they forgot why they bought the tool to begin with because they're trying to change three or four little things to just fit them. Sometimes it'll do 80% of what you need. Take the 80% win and run.
You know that there's going to be 1,000 bankers watching this, listening, going, whoa, a second, Ms. Snyder, hold on a second here.
I think there's some systems integrators who
I was in a panel in Austin last year at FinexTech, and every bank in that panel told me that. And it was music to my ears because I've been saying that for a long time. I truly believe it. Again, I was a community banker. I saw how to implement projects the right way. You don't have to customize every single thing that you purchase. And if you're a vendor, if you're a fintech company, stop trying to be it all.
I just love the passion, and I love the fact that we're willing to have an argument about it. We need more arguments in this industry, I think. And, but I think just to kind of wrap things up here a little bit on this episode of FinTech Hustle, I just wanted to give a big shout out to Michelle King and Laura Shield and the whole team on site here, bank director. I did the cocktail napkin math, and I think it was literally the cocktail napkin last night. And I think I've been to between 150 and 200 conferences over the years. And this was the best one. Not just that this is the best conference, but this particular one was probably the most productive and candidly fun interplay, arguments, you know, barroom brawls, and that kind of thing that I've seen. And I don't know about you guys, but I just think these guys have knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's from the hall here at AOBA 23. Good to be with you. Hope you join us on another episode of FinTech Hustle. Thanks to my guests, Kim Snyder from Claribus, Jamie Ponishel from Encino, and Ron the Man Shevlin over here from Cornerstone Advisors. Have a great year.